yours, El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Margaret Gray. Later on tonight, we will have Dr. Ron Turner with the very much anticipated Baby Talk segment. But now, Phil Hendry.
Thank you, Margaret. Now, the Baby Talk segment may not transpire.
What do you mean?
Why not? Because Dr. Turner only breaks out Baby Talk when he believes he's talking to members of the audience that are so thick and so lost that he has to just start doing his goo-goo gaga. Now, I don't personally approve of it. You know, Margaret, I just don't.
Well, I think it's a lot of fun. Don't rain on our parade, Phil. Dr. Turner wants to send a message, and a healthy message, and a clear message. Don't bring your mess in here. If you have a tough time coordinating facts and thinking for yourself, and it all comes out in a river of drool, I'm not trying to be funny here, bud.
Yeah, well, still was.
I don't care. Then you're going to get baby talk. So that's why I think it's important.
Coming out a river of drool. Well, in any event, Dr. Ron Turner will be here with us later on tonight. It was something that was requested by some listeners. I think it's very condescending, and it shows a decided lack of patience on the part of the good doctor. Dr. Ron Turner, later on here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I want to remind you that our Customer Appreciation Month of May is rapidly drawing to a close. I can't believe that the month of June is upon us. What a weekend here at the El Pacifico. Took a stroll to the sands here, just past where the sea lion and the seal meet. As a matter of fact, I saw a dead seal on the beach. I don't know if that has anything to do with anything.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Maybe it got into a fight with a sea lion. Maybe,
Well, it might have gotten hit by a shark.
No, it's not going to eat that.
I thought the shark spit that out.
No, sharks eat seals and sea lions. They don't eat us. They spit us out. But anyway, I took a stroll down to the Sandus. Boy, what a nice weekend. And just every conceivable marvelous thing was happening. There's lots of people boating, but then I saw a lot of surfers. The waves were good shape. They were, I'm not a total surf commentator, but the sides had good shape. They weren't mushy. And the white water and
the part of Goofy Foot.
The what?
Goofy Foot.
Did I see anybody Goofy Foot?
Yes.
I don't know if I saw anybody Goofy Foot.
Well, why don't you tell people what Goofy Foot is?
Goofy footing is, I thought Goofy Footing was leading with the wrong foot. You know, if you're right-handed, you're standing with the left leg. I don't know. I think it's like going with the, it's putting the wrong leg out there.
What do you mean the wrong leg?
The wrong leg. If you ordinarily have your left leg in front of the right, then it's like putting the right leg in front of the left.
That's a wrong leg.
You've got to have the right leg.
The right leg? What do you mean?
Well, which leg is it?
Yeah, when you say a goofy foot.
It's whatever the leg is that you're not supposed to be using, okay?
Whatever the leg is? Man, you didn't make no sense of that at all.
Yeah, I think to start the show like that.
Let me just remind folks that this is the end of coming very, very close to the end of Customer Appreciation Month, the month of May. So I would like you to get your backstage pass and get your free downloads. Now, you BSPs out there, you BSPs are entitled to a free download this month as well. I didn't know this.
Well, what are you talking about? Alex sent the...
Alex sent the what?
Sent out a memo and told everybody about it.
I didn't hear any memo about...
You don't hear a memo, you read it.
I didn't read any memo about the BSPs getting a free download, but apparently that's exactly what's happening. So go over and get your free download. And I feel you, man, as they say. I feel you when you say, well, how do I know? Well, you're getting emails, probably getting hit with emails left and right. And one of the emails tells you the details on how to get how to go over and get your download from the website. So there's all kinds of freebies this month at philhendryshow.com. Sign up for Backstage Pass. Join us as we head on into the... I just had a really far-out conversation. I should say far-out. That sounds so antiquated, but... God bless him, Ray Manzarek passed on, the 74-year-old former keyboard player, the leader, I think, of the Doors, died today in Germany at the age of 74. So I guess the word, did I say far out?
Yes, you did. What's that got to do with a man dying?
Well,
I didn't ask you.
Well, it doesn't have anything to do. I just thought it was a term from that period, maybe, is what I'm saying. So there's tons of things going on. And I had a really interesting conversation today concerning the Phil Hendry Show. We got options, folks, and I don't want to tell you. A lot of people are, you never win with these suits, you know. You let the suits spin the story, and you'd swear to God that from people, they're feeling bad from, oh, gee, poor Phil, you know, the deal with, no, it's lived its course, and we're away from that, and we're moving on. And we've got these terrific options. We didn't go out and begin to canvass the broadcast industry because contractually we're prohibited from doing that up until a certain point. You have to understand. You know, I love these people. They think they got it all figured out. You have in your contract certain restrictions where you are not allowed to talk to anybody about anything until a certain time has been reached or a certain period of time has been reached. So, you know, that's what we did. And I have a great guy that represents me, Eric Weiss. He's a very upstanding guy. He's got integrity. He doesn't go around. He's not screwing around. He's not going to try to get anybody in trouble. So he's just sitting on his hands, man, waiting for, you know, a period of time where we're legally able to go out and pitch our show. We have been doing that, and we've gotten some very solid interest. And so I will tell you this. My hope in a perfect world is to continue the show on terrestrial radio with a good, strong base of stations and good, strong producer support. And we dive back into where the show was, say, 2009, 2010, 2011, when we were really, you know, I think cranking some good phone call material, etc. And that's what I want to do. And then we take that and then we use that to augment our website. That's my hope. But if we're not able to do that, then we have options in satellite. And then if we're not able to do that, then we have options in just podcasting and creating that for ourselves. And frankly, to be honest with you, the joy and the trials and the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat of podcasting is that you can stop down and you can record, you can take a break, you can have a cigarette break, you can do whatever you want.
Sorry.
What was that?
What is that?
Music.
Yeah, I know it's music. Is that iTunes? Turn it off, bud.
All right.
So there's all kinds of different things we can do, and so that's why I'm excited about telling you guys what's going to be happening as we move.
All right.
Will you knock it off? What are you doing, man?
Fooling around with sound effects, man. I'm not fooling around with it. There's a chicken in there. Look.
Yeah?
Well, I don't know.
Well, if you see a cart that says chicken, would that mean, oh, I better play this to make sure it's really a chicken?
Why? That's all I did.
I don't care, bud. When I'm talking, you don't have something coming up on air behind me or around me or anything that's going to be distracting the audience from what it is that we're trying to do. What is that?
That's from a Lion game.
Turn that stuff off, man.
Man, you gotta be stupid. Not supposed to put that stuff in behind a guy. The guy trying to talk on the radio is the guy that's gonna be. What are you doing that for?
Just to remind you what you sound like.
Get out of there! Don't tell me that's got. Is that another one of the.
Mr. Hall said I gotta get the chicken warmed up.
Mr. Hall said to get the chicken warmed up?
Yeah.
And why did Mr. Hall say to get the chicken warmed up?
Because he said that you. At the place right now. Well, I better get him on the phone. He can tell. Yeah, David.
Hey, Phil. It's David Hall. I'm sorry. I asked Bud to put me on hold, and I was waiting to jump on the air. So I've been sitting here for the last 20 minutes waiting for you to get through your whole opening monologue to tell you that we have. I asked Bud to go to the chicken because you are in a position right now, Phil. Things are going very well, and I don't want you to start talking. In a way that's going to get you in any trouble. So when I told Bud to go ahead and pull chicken, that's why, because...
Well, so you're using the chicken as an alarm?
Yeah. Well, you know we've done that before.
Why can't you guys just sit down? We could have a meeting and say, Phil, watch it. Don't talk like this. Don't do that. Why do you have to treat me and everybody else that you work with like we're drug addicts and irresponsible homeless slobs? This is the way it's always been. You guys, David, you know, executives like you treat us like we're sort of loose cannons, and we're liable to say anything.
I don't no, I can't afford it. Do you understand? If we get a lawsuit, if we get the FCC crawling all up our you-know-what, I don't have the kind of money that's going to bring some heavy-hitting lawyer in here. Most of these little companies are exactly that. They're little companies. Now, you come on and you start calling people names.
I haven't called anybody any names. I would remind you that I've never gotten a radio station fined, ever. And so I think it's very unfair of you to say that. On the other side of things...
there's the chicken. And the reason why... All right, kill the chicken. Kill it. The reason why we've got the chicken there is in case you overstep your bounds and we need to, you know, you got Tarter coming on. He's going to be doing baby talk. Man, I could see us pulling chicken and...
All right, thanks a lot, David. And
you just see the bio guy.
You have taken to hanging up on him. Why is that?
Because that's what I feel like doing now. I'm going to be taking a much firmer hand, if you'll pardon the expression. Don't worry, bud. You don't have to dump that. A much firmer hand with David, because I feel that as he is... Why are you doing that?
He said taking a firm hand.
Yeah, that's borderline. There ain't nothing taking a firm hand? What, do you think it's about? Oh, man.
Well, it could be.
It's not about anything having to do other than... Let's take a break. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
That is. See, you don't really know what you wanted to say because you're saying, oh, well, let's take a break because, you know...
No, I know what I want to say, but I know I have to take a break. I got other stuff I got to do. Is Turner on the line?
Who?
Ron Turner.
Who's he?
Dr.
Oh, yeah. I've got Dr. Ron Turner on the phone right now.
All right, we're going to talk to Dr. Ron Turner on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Climate change, a bunch of things happening. The tornadoes, devastating as they have been. I don't want to get too heavy into tornadoes, but we're going to talk to Dr. Ron Turner tonight about science, about weather, about a lot of things that are happening. It's the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Dr. Ron Turner joining us tonight here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. Dr. Turner, how are you?
Good evening, Phil.
And Dr. Turner, tonight is your roundtable with us. Dr. Jim Sadler is going to join us as we talk about climate change. I don't want to get, you know, I'm always very wary about, I don't want to touch on any of what's been happening in the central part of the country. It's been very tragic. It's been a tough day for those folks.
Phil, I absolutely concur. I think what I want to talk about so much that is not the tornadoes per se, but we have a coming hurricane season, as you know. But in general, I want to talk about climate change and what climate change is doing to our ability to move forward technologically as well as societally. And we've got to deal with it. There's no question about it.
Do you find when you're out traveling these days that there are the climate change deniers, as many of them?
There's not as many, but they still have a tendency to pop up in the some of the lecture series that we do. And you'll have a guy stand there and say, "Well, now I have data here that says such and such and so and so." And that's where baby talk, it became a necessity for me. I was in Atlanta, as a matter of fact, at Georgia Tech, and a man stood up and said, "The numbers that I have from NASA, they don't add up, and it could not possibly be that there's been this warming since the 30s." And that's what I said. I started answering in a normal tone of voice. Then I finally went, "Me, doctor, you know, doctor." And he started to laugh and look at me, and I said, no. And I walked off the podium, and I walked over to him. "Me, doctor, you know, doctor. Me, no, you don't know. You don't know." And he began to look around as if he felt humiliated, and people were sort of laughing. And I realized I had something as they suddenly were laughing at him because he stood there. And I was showing him up as the big, fat baby that he was, standing there, goo-goo and goo-goo gaga.
And, well, he wasn't really doing that.
No, but I mean, that's the way it came out. He's and I began to develop baby talk. But the whole purpose of it is to show up people for the stupid questions they ask Look, Phil, I've said this on your program before, and I want to repeat it. I am a scientist. As Bill Murray said in Ghostbusters, stand back, mister, we're scientists. And I know that he was kidding.
Well, the character wasn't kidding.
No, the character wasn't kidding, but the joke, the movie was telling a joke.
Yeah.
And the joke is, you know, but the fact is I am a scientist. And when a guy stands up and says, what's the, I've looked at NASA's numbers on climate change, and that's when I'll jump in with good doo boo doo doo boo boo boo.
Did some guy jump in, not jump in, did somebody get up from the front row and lunge at you, or?
Well, yeah, no, that was in Seattle, and it was a student who, all of a sudden I see this guy who was sitting there in a Pendleton shirt, and you know how they dress up there with the Pendleton and the lumberjack boots, and he was looking at me very intently. I'll never forget this young man. And when this guy got up in the back of the hall and said, Dr. Turner, these numbers these numbers don't add up, and that's when I couldn't stand it any longer. And I went, God, bah, 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 like that.
Well, isn't that mocking people?
Oh, hold on. I'm not done with the story.
You said that to that. No wonder you got jumped.
Thank you, Ms. Gray. I'll take that under advisement. Let me just finish my story. The guy stands, he goes, and he said, so NASA's numbers are wrong. And when I hear that NASA's numbers are wrong, I want to, it was a time when I wanted to be angry, you know.
Do you lose your temper, Ron?
Not anymore, not since baby talk. There was a time when I wanted to be angry, and I would scream at them. I would say, you are the stupidest MF every,
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, every filthy word I could think of. And nobody was taking me seriously. There was a period there where they were going to drop me from the lecture series. And that's when I was at home, and I was pacing in the kitchen. And I was talking to my son, Jeremiah, and I said, what do I do? I remembered him as a little boy. And then when he was going, boom, 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 boom. And he said, Dad, you know, you do that pretty good. I said, I tried it. And that's what I do.
I can't believe. So what is the point of this? How does this benefit you? What? I don't understand how this could possibly be good.
Well, it benefits us because people can see that it's a perfect attack on an idiot when he says that NASA's numbers on global warming are wrong. And so you go, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, and the audience goes, yep, that's what we're hearing. Thank you. Hey, you know, they'll applaud.
So the audience understands readily that you're talking to an idiot, and your baby talking there is
entirely appropriate.
Entirely appropriate. All right. Let's get on here. Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego. He is in a much, much different line of work. He is in the work of psychology. He's a psychologist and in private practice in San Diego. And we have Dr. Jim Sadler online. Dr. Sadler, how are you?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing really great. Thank you for having me on.
And we got Ron Turner here.
Hey, Ron, how are you?
I'm doing very, very good, Dr. Sadler. And I saw your paper on the ADHD therapies, which you articulated a really great point of view. And that was that...
I know what I wrote. I don't know. We can talk about it later if you want to.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We have to move on.
I was sensing that maybe we have to move. I would love to talk with you, Dr. Turner, later.
Well, later I won't have any time. I had time right now. So I guess that's your loss.
Well.
No, Ron, there was no time right now because we have to move on with this.
Oh, okay. Well.
We have to move on with this discussion here of global warming. Dr. Sadler, where do you stand on this issue?
Well, I think the jury is still out. Would you ask him not to do that?
Don't, hey, Ron.
Well, this is what I do in my lecture series.
Don't do it right away. I mean, don't you think that Dr. Sadler has the right to an opinion?
I think he has the right. Look, there's an old saying, Phil. You got the right to facts. You don't have a right to your own set of facts. You see? What was that?
I'm going to do my own baby talk.
You're so far... give it up, man. You can't do baby talk.
Well, I think I can.
All right, we're not going to have dueling baby talk here. Dr. Ron Tarner with us from Colorado. Dr. Jim Sadler with us from San Diego. We're talking about climate change, global and otherwise, with two doctors, two men in the field of science with decidedly different views. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, you sound really stupid. You know what? How do you think you sound? What? How do you think you sound? Well, I can't understand you. I said, how do you think you sound?
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Jim Sadler, he's at a professional seminar this evening. We've got Dr. Ron Tarner in Mountain Meadow, Colorado, as we talk about climate change here tonight. And this is a part of the Baby Talk series. And you realize, Dr. Tarner, that there are a lot of people who've been emailing me over this over the weekend when we made the announcement on Facebook that you'd be here, saying it's about as juvenile an insult to science as there could possibly be.
Can I jump in?
Excuse me, he asked me a question.
Could I jump in?
No, he asked me a question. I'd like to answer it.
I think we can let Dr. Tarner jump in.
Okay, my name's Tarner.
I mean, Dr. Sadler.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a question. All I wanted to say, and I have the story right here. I haven't even said anything, Ron. Why did you do that?
Because I know what you're going to say. Are you going to refer to the Alaska climate change case?
Yes, I am.
All right. Let me read this.
No, I'll read it. I have it. I brought it in my briefcase. It's mine. I want to do it. Let's see. The Supreme Court. Mr. Henry, would you ask him to stop?
Look, Ron, it's no good if you keep interrupting him.
All right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. The Supreme Court on Monday declined to hear an Alaskan village's claim that it should be able to sue oil companies and utilities for damages attributed to climate change. Lawyers for the village of Kevalina wanted various named defendants responsible for greenhouse emissions, including Exxon, Mobil, Chevron Corp., and Duke Energy Corporation.
Well, there's a real big one, Duke Energy. Wow.
Well, it's a small concern, Dr. Tarner, but it is nonetheless they're doing significant business up there.
Well, I think when you bring up and what's next, the Singer Sewing Machine Company, we're looking at a crisis in energy that will only be solved once we're able to get climate change out of control. Was that you trying to do the baby talk?
Yeah.
All right, hold on for a minute. Dr. Tarner, Dr. Sadler.
No, would you please get us, the two of us, straight, because it's very insulting.
Well, I take that as an insult. When you say it's insulting because he can't figure you for me, I would be very honored if he said, Dr. Tarner, it's Dr. Sadler. I thought you were Dr. Tarner. I'd be honored.
Well, that's the difference between you and me. I am not honored being called Dr. Sadler. And
I didn't call you Dr. Sadler. Let me direct this. Dr. Sadler, it seems to me that you're taking a decidedly cynical view. I think you believe that climate change is a hoax. Isn't that right?
Well, sir, I think hoax is a very strong word. I think I think the science is incomplete. I've always said that. Well, okay. I think the science is incomplete. I think that there needs to be more vetting. You know something, you are such an ass. You know that?
Since I introduced Baby Talk, more debates have been clean. They've been fought with a good, clean, solid line of logic.
How? You know, I personally find it distracting.
I do too.
And, you know, I find it...
Oh, you do too, huh? Are you trying to suck up to the host?
No, sir. I'm saying to Mr. Hendry, I agree with him. It is distracting when we're trying to make points about the global climate change. God, how I hate you.
Well, and that I'm doing my job. If you really hate me, huh?
Yes, I do. I hate you.
All right. Then if, you heard him, Mr. Andrew. You're a witness.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't know if hate is the word, but it's very, very irritating. Talking to Dr. Ron Tarner and Dr. Jim Sadler. So look, the court's refusal to take the case means an appeals court ruling in favor of the defendants remains intact. So the defendants, which are Mobil Corp, Chevron Corp, Duke Energy Corp, Exxon, etc., the defendants have prevailed. And so the damages attributed to climate change are not recognized by the court, and the ability to sue oil companies and utilities for damages attributed to climate change has been denied by the court. Is that what you understand, Dr. Sadler?
Absolutely, Phil, and at the risk of Dr. Tarner pulling baby on me, I will tell you that this is there's a lot of good, solid citizens that... Can I finish what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to let you.
No, you're not, because you just pulled some of that baby talk on him.
You know, the guy's going because they want to go. You want to pick it up a little bit?
I'll go as fast or as slow as I want. I want to make this point. The Supreme Court of the United States has recognized that you do not have the right to sue corporations for damages that you attribute to climate change. This is a very major victory. This is a very major... I'm just going to ignore it. This is a very major victory. This is a very... God. Oh, I hate it when you go la-la.
Well, then start talking some sense.
You know, this is stupid. This is really stupid.
What is?
This baby... I don't see how this causes anybody to express a clearer point of view or anything like that.
I do, Mr. Henry, if I'm allowed to do my baby talk.
Your baby talk, Dr. Sadler, I have to tell you, is strictly... It is so Bush League, you just don't... You don't even know.
Why do you say that?
Because this is how you baby talk. You go, la, 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 la. It lunges out of your throat as if you're throwing up. There has to be a subtlety to it. So when you're talking and you're going on and you're blathering away about something, I'll go, la, 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 la. And that goes directly to your gut, doesn't it?
No.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't go to my gut. It irritates me.
Well, it's the same thing.
All right, so let's move on now. Dr. Sadler was talking about the Supreme Court decision, and I think that's significant, too. The Supreme Court has said to this tribe, and I'm assuming it's a tribe.
Well, I think it's a good assumption, Phil. The village is Kivalina. It's a village. It's in Alaska. I think if you say village and Alaska, you know there's got to be, as we used to say, there's got to be some wampum stuffed up a tree log or a...
No, I don't see. Look, they call me a conservative. I'm far more liberal on Indian rights.
And what'd you call them?
Indian rights. That's got nothing to do with climate change. Why are you pulling that baby talk on me now? I said, Dr. Tarner, why are you doing it now? Phil, could you make him talk like a normal man for a minute?
What's going on, Dr. Tarner?
Well, there's nothing going on. What are you talking about? This is what we're supposed to do.
He's not even talking about climate change. He was talking about something else.
Well,
so what I'm saying is this. The American Electric Power versus Connecticut, the decision was prompted in part by a 2011 Supreme Court decision in which the court held unanimous and similar claims. Okay, here it is, right here. Kivalina, an Inupiaq Native community of about 400 people, sits on the end of a six-mile barrier island on the northwest coast of Alaska. The case is Kivalina versus ExxonMobil Corp. et al., U.S. Supreme Court, number 12-1072. Now, I pulled a file on this, okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Right.
And I got to tell you something. Why don't you shut up? I'm trying to make a point here.
You've been saying that for the last time. I'm trying to make a point. Make it already.
I'm making it.
Seems to me this is pretty interesting, Dr. Tarner. He's pulling out the Supreme Court decision of today, 2011. He's giving us some background.
Well, I think the whole thing is designed by this guy Sadler, who's a psychologist, to overwhelm us with paperwork so that when I go baby on him,
You go baby on me. Can I ask you a question?
What?
What happens if you go baby driving home. Do you pull over and, you know?
Yeah, you got a baby wipe?
Why don't you go straight to the demon?
I just wondered, that's all.
Now, you know what? You could go straight to the demon. You could go straight to the torturing, flaying devil.
Doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother you. Go straight down to the devil.
Nope, not doing anything.
Go to the hell. Hell. The flames of hell.
No, it does not bother me, Tarner. Try something different.
I'm not going to mess with this.
All right, you're getting, again, sidetracked. So, Kevalina is a native community, and these folks, one would think there'd be some sympathy, as there has been over the last 50, 60, 70 years, with native people as they attempt to reclaim their rights. They attempt to reclaim their rights over their land, and this goes to the global climate change argument. Dr. Tarner, go ahead.
Well, Phil, the global climate change argument should not even be happening. There is global climate change. There is global climate change.
Bah, 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 wah, wah. See?
There is global climate change.
Goo, goo, gaga.
There is... You're not going to do anything. There is global climate change. Give it to me.
All right, hold on, will you?
What a jackass.
No, I'm allowed to baby talk.
Yeah, you grabbed the phone out of my hand.
Hold on, will you? Don't grab the phone from him. Dr. Sadler, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I...
You know, I'm trying to give the best possible... Can we take a break, Mr. Henry? Because I have to urinate. I'm awfully sorry.
Oh, that's great.
No, I'm sorry, but I do.
Yes, of course we can take a break. We'll be right back here. 877-876-PHIL. It seems to me that the Supreme Court has, at least in this particular case, said, now hold the phone. Even if there is climate change, we can't just all of a sudden assign the blame for that to four or five oil companies or to every oil company in the world. If we set a precedent here where every oil company has to pay every time there is provable climate change damage, are we going to have any companies left? Are we going to have oil companies left? Are we going? Is this actually a constructive way of going about things? We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Boy, there are some
truth
scenes here that
is
we've
our
got
bitch
on Phil TV.
The Phil Hendry Show.
That's a tornado on Phil TV that we have right now. Look at that. Famous Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner and Dr. Jim Sadler as we talk about a variety of things having to do with science. We were talking a little bit about climate change. Dr. Tarner is on a national baby talk tour, which still the jury's out on this, and everybody here was excited about it, Dr. Tarner. People were talking about it.
I don't understand that.
Hold on. A lot of people were talking about it.
You know, you don't understand it because you didn't invent the baby talk.
You mean the baby talk?
Hold on for a minute, gentlemen. So the people were talking about it. Your whole use of baby talk is to put down...
No. Please allow me to explain my own method. I first found baby talk to be useful when I would listen to some of these scientists that I would meet at the quarterly symposiums that we have, whether we're doing a roundtable on climate change or something else. And I got tired of listening to them going through their usual climate denying. Now, you're going to be hearing, Phil, I'll give an example, and we're going to talk about meteorites here in a moment. Dr. Tarner would have you believe that a meteorite is not the devastating event that we have predicted, but in fact, is nothing more than a rock coming down from space.
It is just a rock coming down from space. What happened to Russia?
Dr. Sadler wants you to believe. It's just...
What happened to Russia is all I ask.
Oh, hold on, please.
Gaga goo goo.
God, you are the worst at that. Mr. Henry, I'm almost embarrassed. He's so lousy at it.
Lousy what, baby talk?
Yeah.
Well, what are you? I didn't know that there was some kind of a level of expertise you're supposed to meet.
There's a level of expertise for everything.
And when I was talking, and you're going goo goo gaga, you don't call that baby talk. I call that the kind of talk coming from a baby that was dropped on its head. Yes. How dare you? How dare you? I call that the... No, not how dare me. I call that the kind of talk coming out of a baby that got dropped from a story up onto his head on a sidewalk.
Well, I'm going to kill a kid.
And I would hasten to add, Mr. Henry, that as long as Dr. Turner is allowed to go unchecked and unreined on this program, I won't be able to continue my points.
All right, I'm going to steer this in the direction we want it to go in. I want to talk about the meteorite over Russia 2 months ago. It was a jarring event. It was a nerve jarring event. There, it was the noise alone, the explosion of this thing hitting the sound barrier, the various pieces of the meteorite breaking off and themselves breaking the sound barrier. All that pop 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 sound that we heard, the broken glass from the shockwave from the sound, the exploding sound of me. This was a very nerve jarring event, and yet, Dr. Turner. It did very little damage itself. The sound wave was the most dangerous thing.
This is good, Phil. This is where you gotta lean on them on these things. I'm not finished yet. You really get into that whole baby talk. It's very, very disturbing.
Well, wait a minute. What's disturbing about it?
Well, you're real good at it, and it's like you... What do? Do you sit around all day just looking at babies and stuff? What?
Buddy... I'm a father. I've got a son, and you think maybe he was a baby at one time?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, I'm trying to make a point, and you keep butting in with that baby talk, which I don't think is baby talk at all.
What, you think my mind reverts?
Gentlemen, please.
All right, well.
All right, so, as I was saying...
A la Rosa.
Okay. Dr. Turner, there comes a time when it's just too much.
No, I don't think it's too much, because this guy hasn't made one clear point. Not one.
I'm going to make a clear point right now. The meteorites, when it broke up, it didn't destroy nothing. Now go back to...
Oh, it didn't... Yeah, thanks a lot, Doc. Nothing.
All right, well, that's not baby talk.
No, what I just did there was brain damage.
You did brain damage, Doc.
Yeah.
That's not what you said you were going to do.
I know, but I changed the agenda.
Well, what difference does it make? What, do we lose the line?
Yeah, hold on.
What difference does it make?
Don't make any difference to me.
Well, I think if you're doing baby talk, then you have to stick with baby talk. There's the...
Exactly, Bargain. I just don't... if you're doing baby talk, stick with baby talk.
Hey, Dr. Sandler...
You're doing brain damage. You said stick with baby talk.
I want, but you started sounding as if you took a pole or something right through your brain. You know, you ever heard about that?
No, I haven't.
All right, guys, you're not getting anything done with this discussion of baby talk and a pole through the brain.
Well, you know, I'm just telling you, Phil. From my point of view, a meteorite hitting the Earth will be devastating.
And from my point of view, Mr. Henry, the proof is that it is not. Look at the meteorite that struck Russia, and let's go back to the turn of the 20th century, the Tunguska event, okay?
Oh, Jesus. You got to bring that up again.
Yeah, you guys don't like to talk about... You guys that believe that the Earth is going to get turned into a big... I don't know, you know, just a big... it's going to get turned into a big turd.
Well, we don't exactly use the word turd, okay?
Well, you know, I mean, you guys that believe it, you're way off base, because the comet that hit the Tunguska forest back in 1906 or 19, whatever the heck, I don't even know the date.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what is the date?
I don't know.
And you're a scientist, huh?
Yes, I am, a very good scientist.
Well,
goo goo gaga, goo goo gaga.
You can't do baby talk just doing goo goo gaga.
All right, take it easy, will you? So who cares when, all right, so the Tunguska event, then what?
What do you mean, then what? No, you're talking to Sandler. I don't buy anything that Sandler's saying.
So what I mean is this. Tunguska was a comet that hit the Earth. A massive explosion. From what we understand anecdotally, the explosion could be heard thousands of miles away. It was a devastating event for that part of Russia, and yet it took years for it to come out of that part of Russia, for the word to come out, and to let everyone know what exactly had happened. There was no climate change. There was no earthquake. There was no tidal wave. There was no gases or dusts released that would kill all life on the planet. We have been accepting a model that is wrong. It's just wrong. What is that? What is that? Does this baby talk have... Does this... Will you speak like a man, please?
Brother?
Would you speak like a man, please? Mr. Henry?
Come on, Dr. Turner. What are you doing?
Oh, okay. So I'm making some... I'm slamming point after point home, and you're telling me I can't do it. What point after point? Who understands you? That's the whole point of baby talk, you... You've got a baby brain. I don't know how you don't. I don't know how you. You don't know how I doesn't understand a baby brain. My brain is big enough to understand that what you just said, man. I wouldn't say it with your lips.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much for a scintillating conversation.
No, that made me thought we sounded like two a-holes. No, I know what it means.
Okay. Well, yes, you're right. That's exactly what that means. Thank you for interpreting that for me, Dr. Turner. Although I like that point that he was making about the lack of devastation of these large events, meteors, comets, are we really, is it going to be a worldwide global destruction if anything like that ever happens? We had a meteorite hitting, well, never mind.
Phil Hendry.